Well, we can resume as soon as Mr. Briggs shows up.
Paging Roger Briggs, please report to the main deck.
Is Mr. McClellan here?
He is, okay.
Yeah. Mr. McClellan, yeah. Dr. Hunter, I guess, had some questions for you that I thought we would quickly allow her to ask and you to answer before we get into the city's rebuttal.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. McClellan. I wanted to give you an opportunity to add your comments to the question I posed to Mr. Kahn regarding Mr. English regarding the formation of a technical advisory committee.
Yes, we're in agreement, and I know there was some confusion. I think I was the first one that mentioned a technical advisory committee during the session this morning, and we would think it would be one committee. We're not asking for anything that's different than Steve Kahn, I think, asked for. And it's very similar to what's happening down in San Diego County, and they have a technical advisory committee that's dealing with LID as well as HydroMod and any other technical issues that could come up in the process. So I know there's some confusion as to was it two committees, and no, one committee is. We're both in concert there from that standpoint.
Thank you. And it occurs to me there's one other person in the room, Ms. Lynch. I think you also suggested the idea of an advisory committee. Could you clarify for me if you were talking about similar idea to what you've just heard, or is it a separate process?
I may not have had as much vision as these other gentlemen. My goal is for, whether it's technical or it's just stakeholder-oriented, it's a meeting of minds, both the environmental community, who's clearly very concerned, the municipalities, who are very concerned, the development community, who's very concerned. Our sense is that we weren't able to participate before the February letter came out, but we believe it's really important that we do, because what's happening in this hearing, to me, is the epitome of it, is you're seeing that lack of discussion now take place on an individual basis every time somebody's permit comes up. The reason the requests are coming forward for hearings isn't because we don't want to be enrolled. We've said from the beginning we want to be enrolled. It's because of these particular issues. So if we can pull those aside, get us enrolled, which is what we've always asked for, and then let us work through this issue as a group and reach consensus. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it's just this battle back and forth in front of the board every single time it comes up.
Thank you.
If I could add one other thing. The San Diego group is what we didn't anticipate being, if you allowed that to occur here, includes a broad spectrum of everyone. It includes the municipalities, private industry, private engineers and consultants, the home building industry, the environmental industry or groups. So it was a broad spectrum of all stakeholders that were involved. It just wasn't purely technical people.
You know, my thought is that if we encourage something like this, it really should be region-wide, not just this county, obviously.
I understood, and I don't know who said it, that someone was talking about some sort of group that would actually, that they were asking the regional board to sort of spearhead a group that could actually deal with each individual jurisdiction to help them with their plan. I don't see that necessarily as the same group who would actually set the policies come together. I mean, I think that's one of the main suggestion I've heard here now. So I thought there was someone talking about this other group that jurisdictions could ask for help from, but maybe I got that confused.
No, I recall that. I'm trying to see if it's in my notes. Who actually suggested that the regional board should take a leadership role? That was you. Okay. So, sounds like.
Okay. We will go to the City of Lompoc's rebuttal time. Mr. Briggs?
All right, and we will be very judicious with our time and want to respond directly, Mr. Chair, to your suggestions. First, we have a couple of comments we do want to make on supplemental sheet number 3 with regards to the findings within the resolution itself. I think earlier finding 12 was mentioned by one of the earlier speakers. I think it's important to note that finding 12 was added, and as you will note, this resolution was revised yesterday, meaning the city and the rest of us did not get to see this resolution until we arrived here this morning. Finding 12 is one of the most substantive new addition, obviously, to that resolution, and it makes a number of statements and findings that all of you will be making today if you adopt this resolution that basically conclude you have considered a number of variety of factors, and the fact that this was just added in yesterday, we're not sure where the supporting and technical information would be to support the findings and conclusions made within finding 12 as proposed. Again, these have just been added, and I don't believe that there's anything currently within the record that would support your findings proposed in number 12.
Which specific findings within 12?
Well, I think there are a lot of them. They go to what we call Water Code Section 13241, and there's a number of factors there that the Region Board must consider if they determine that requirements exceed federal law and requirements, and there's some fuzziness whether that would be the case here or not. Francis and I would probably respectfully disagree as to that conclusion. But I think the example in the last sentence, it says, the use of hydromodification controls will protect water quality, which is necessary to support housing. I'm not sure that there's any information that's been presented in the record that could support a statement such as that at this time when that statement was added as of yesterday. Kind of along those same lines, I think staff indicated that in this supplemental sheet, they have also provided citations to other supporting documentation, and we would just note that this supporting documentation, again, first time we've seen or been known about it, or I'm sure others in the room maybe be aware of these reports, but the fact that it is used as a supporting evidence for the regional board's findings would be today. So this information has not been provided previously, so it does not, it leaves us at somewhat of a disadvantage to actually look at those reports to determine their application here today.
Out of curiosity, would you agree that the Water Board is not required to consider Water Code Section 13241?
Oh, I would not agree with that, no. I would say that you are. I mean, this comes back to a decision by the California Supreme Court called the City of Burbank, and basically the City of Burbank case says if you have permit requirements that do exceed those that are mandated by federal law, you must look at the factors in Water Code Section 13241. We would contend that the provisions being required within the table of required provisions exceed the federal standard of MEP, and therefore they exceed that required by federal law.
Now, I thought that we were shown a regulation which does recommend that we include LID in our post-construction criteria.
Recommend.
Okay, but I mean,
recommend, require. I think we need to.
If we do it, does that mean we're exceeding
That could
law?
Be an open debate. The EPA regulations have certain language within them for the Phase 2 communities that provide certain guidance of different things that communities and the states should look at when they go to regulate Phase 2 communities. Again, this is guidance. It is not a specific requirement. The requirements in the Phase 2 regulations and under the general permit is to provide BMPs to the MEP for the 6 minimum control measures. And so we would contend beyond that is an exceedance of the federal law and the federal requirements. You can't, you know, you have to put it into context. The federal regulations specifically recognize that Phase 2 is also a ramping up. It's looking at, and they intend to evaluate the impact and the effectiveness of the 6 minimum control measures, and they're supposed to do this by 2012. We're not at 2012 yet. So in many ways, this swamp is so out in front of EPA's review of the current Phase 2 program, it's hard to really determine where EPA would go with Phase 2, as well as the State Board. As we all know, they are in the process of negotiating and looking at revising the Phase 2 general permit. And the requirements here, maybe they will be a part of that permit, maybe they won't, but they are pretty much in advance of knowing where the trends are going to go on a national and state basis.
Well, that's sort of interesting because EPA's pounding on us to do this. So,
but I think you need to put into context, EPA is pounding, and where they have showed up and testified is at Phase 1 community hearings. I think it's important to recognize the difference between dealing with small Phase 2 communities that are trying to grapple with some of the initial requirements as compared to a Phase 2 community that's had a stormwater permit for 15 to 20 years. Lastly, on the resolution, the last point I kind of want to make is there is a finding in here, or actually it's not a finding, it's your therefore be it resolved clause number 3 that basically provides the legal authority for you to then mandate the city go back and revise its swamp. I do question the citation that is provided here. It refers to a section of the water code that references the ability for the regional board to require monitoring. And I'm not sure that I would contend that the required revisions in the table for the swamp would fit into the category of monitoring, which is what Water Code Section 13383 it actually deals with.
Can you draw our attention to exactly where in the...
On page 3...
I see that. Therefore, be it resolved. That.
Number 3. The City of Lompoc shall provide a copy of the revised swamp to the Water Board no later than February 28, 2009, pursuant to Water Code Section 13383. That Water Code Section is what gives the Regional Board the authority to require monitoring in NPDES permit holders.
What should we just
Which code section should it be?
I don't know that there is one. But I do think it's a questionable use of authority in that regard.
Okay.
Going more now then to the table, Mr. Chair, to try to answer some of the specifics that you requested. First, I think it's important that, you know, there's been a perception that what the regional board is proposing in the table, we're dealing with the hydro modification and the lid requirements, that it is a flexible standard, that these numerics in the February 15th letter are not mandated, they're guidance, they're examples, that they will look at local conditions. And I think the concern that's expressed by the City of Lompoc and perhaps the others that talked today is, we're not sure we agree that they're as flexible as they say they are. And our reasons for not being convinced of the flexibility is in perhaps the point that Santa Maria was trying to make, is that they have tried to work with the regional board staff, as I understand what they were saying, to work on these local conditions, and they feel that the regional board keeps going back to the February 15th and July 10th requirements and not allowing them that flexibility. So in addition, in order to really also understand the flexibility, when we look at the language and the required revisions, let's go to item number 17. On page 10.
Of the most recent supplemental sheet.
Yes, and I will be on the most recent supplemental sheet.
Right.
When you go to item 17, it clearly states in the middle here that the regional board is going to review the proposed criteria relative to the interim criteria stated in the EO's February 15th and July 10th letter, meaning that those will be the criteria they use to determine if the local criteria are met or not. In addition to support that, in the regional board's response to comments to the Santa Barbara Channel Keepers comments, which is in the original packet, there is a sentence that reads, Water Board staff has included in resolution number R3-2008-0071 requirements for the city to develop interim hydro modification criteria that are appropriate to the city, and here I underscore, but are equivalent in protection to the criteria described in the EO executive officer's letters. When you have this combination of language, there's clearly a belief on the part of the city and others that the intent is to make sure that any local criteria meet the criteria that are expressed in the February 15th and upheld in the July 10th letter. Along with that, I think it's important to process note. So what happens if, in a year, the city of Lompoc develops local criteria and the regional board disagrees? We now know from the July 10th letter that then the February 15th criteria would apply. What legal process standing does the city have at that point to oppose or reject the February 15th criteria then? At that point in time, there will be a notice of applicability, our 30 days for appeal will have run, and the city will be without any legal protection to challenge the implication of the February 15th criteria when there is a disagreement as to whether the local criteria are equivalent or not.
But wouldn't you be able to appeal the board's decision that the jurisdiction's criteria was didn't meet the threshold?
I don't know, because at that point in time, what is the decision that the board is making? Is the board...
The board's making the decision that the criteria that it doesn't meet the criteria.
That the board is making a decision on a stormwater management plan that has already been issued a notice of applicability. Where is my legal standing to challenge what this apparent discretionary action would be? I'm not sure that you can guarantee that I would have that right or that ability.
Good point. Should do it now.
At least now I have 30 days. Okay, so going then through the table of required revisions to get to the specificity that you requested, Mr. Chair, starting with required revision number 3, you asked us to kind of point out what exact language within this table is of the most concern to us. On page 6, item number 3, really the only bullet point in this talking about the far right column, the only bullet point that causes the city concern in this item is the language that commits the city to conduct a minimum of 5 consultations, whether requested or not. The city's whole point here is they set this up as a voluntary program, and this requirement basically turns it from a voluntary consultation into them mandating that they go in and consult with businesses. And they think that's kind of contrary to the intent, and they're concerned that the businesses won't look favorable of them coming in and say, I'm mandated to give you a voluntary consultation. So that's the primary concern with item number 3. We then go to item number 10. Which is the trash cleanup of San Miguelito Creek. I think the city has clearly stated that they do intend to clean up the trash, but as you could see from the pictures and some of the discussion, this is not a normal, easy trash cleanup process. In addition to, you know, talking about a stream bed alteration permit, as Dominic indicated, the city's pretty concerned that there's probably a number of endangered species that inhabit this riparian area. And so we are dealing with ESA, we're dealing with the Department of Fish and Game and the Fish and Wildlife Service. So going in and doing a cleanup and cutting back vegetation is a much more complicated permitting process than just obtaining a Fish and Game stream bed alteration agreement. It is for that, and again, what all the city is really looking where the language says they want the city to indicate earlier completion. We have no way to commit to earlier completion, and we are concerned that if we do that, it puts ourselves in a position of potentially violating the permit, and the city just does not want to be in that position. I mean, we think that, obviously the city will move forward. They will try to do it and complete it as quickly as possible, but to have a commitment in the swamp for earlier completion than the end of the 5 years, which member Hayashi already mentioned would be very difficult in itself, is just something that could put them in jeopardy of violating their stormwater management plan.
I don't see that. I mean, I look at the language in that right column, amend the BMP to indicate earlier completion, and staff had said they were concerned that because you had requested, 1 to 5 years, that it might take 5 years to do this. That they wanted something earlier than a 5-year cutoff.
But what happens if we don't?
Well,
what happens with all of our diligent efforts? We can't.
Ultimately, what happens with all of these swamps is that if there is an issue of enforcement on any of these provisions, it comes before the board and there's a hearing. And the board has to weigh testimony as to what happened and what didn't happen. Something like this, I would find it hard to believe would actually come to the board on an enforcement item action, because I think that what staff is looking for, and I could be wrong, and they could fill this in, but they want to see a commitment to doing it sooner than 5 years. And at this point, can your client tell me how much of that creek that they control and own?
No, which is why they indicated they need the time.
I think that's the problem, that some of this information you have to come forward with and tell staff, these are the challenges that we have to deal with specifically, not just in generalities.
Well, and you know, I'm sure that we've tried, and I guess on the point of the enforcement, Chairman Young, I would also remind you that this is an NPDES permit pursuant to the Clean Water Act, and there are third parties that can bring enforcement actions against the city for failing to comply outside of the regional board's process. While you, as a regional board, might very fairly take a look at it in your types of enforcement proceedings, the regional board would be in jeopardy of potentially violating its permit and being subject to third-party citizen suits. So, I mean, it's not just jeopardy from enforcement here. There are other outside parties as well.
You're right about that. I'm aware of third-party enforcement. But, again, specifically the language here, I think, allows the city flexibility in coming back and saying, you know what, we can do it within 5 years, but it's going to take us 2 years or 3 years, and here is why. And this is how we are proposing to revise this BMP. I mean, I see that as the next step with these required revisions. And so perhaps if you come back to staff with that information, maybe they'll go along with it.
Yeah, we can try.
Well, I think that's what should take place. I personally, and I don't know how the rest of the board feels, I don't have a problem with that language in 10. I think it allows for flexibility.
Moving on to the city landfill, what the city is really looking at, and the language on the right, it would require the city to prepare the plan and schedule for modifying the detention basin by year 2 and to implement the plan no later than year 3. What the city is really proposing is that under the contract that they've already contracted to start this work, the schedule for actually preparing the plan and the schedule for modifying the detention basin is currently set to end by year 3. And so they're looking for an additional year there based upon their existing contract that they've already set forth and in place, and then to implement the plan no later than year 5 once the plan has been put forward. So that is the only things we're looking for there on the landfill is to change year 2 to year 3 and year 3 to year 5.
Are we talking about item number 14?
Yes.
Yes, we
Thank
are.
Thank you.
Far right column.
And do you mean that you would be finished by the end of year 5? Oh, it says implement.
Yes.
You could
Okay,
you would be completed.
Would be completed.
Okay.
Yes, I believe that's currently the plan and for the contract and everything, the phases that they have in place.
Yeah, I mean, if it's changed from implementing to completed, I don't know what else other people think, but that sounds reasonable.
Okay. Well, staff is going to have a chance to address all these things. Yeah.
They got their work
done. Right.
Okay, going on to item 16, and you know, the whole first part of this item, the, you know, requirement to have an enrollment within 1 year of enrollment, the city have adequate development review and permitting procedures. The city has those already, and that is not an issue. How this really, I think, has brought it forward into the context and discussion with the other items in number 17 and 18 in particular, is this one is specifically identified for implementing hydro modification and low impact development criteria. You know, I think that if this was just in general and you had a period after or other enforceable mechanisms and referred the fact that all the hydro modification issues are really discussed in 17 and 18, it's not an issue. It's really a standard process that the city already has in place. It alone in itself is not an issue. It's in the combination with 17 and 18.
Okay, so 16 is okay.
By itself.
And 17 and 18 are the troubling ones.
So 17 is the specific requirement for interim hydromodification criteria. And we talked a little bit earlier, you know, about this perceived perception of whether there's actual flexibility or not in the setting of interim criteria. The city, you know, continues to express its concern that we're not sure that there's that actual flexibility there, especially when you consider the language with regards to the fact that it will be looked at relative to the criteria in February 15th, July 10th, and when you consider the response to comments and all that else has been said over the last year on these issues. So I think that pretty much, I think the item 17 has been hashed out pretty much by everybody.
Well, what further assurance would the city need to feel confident that there was flexibility? Because that's what I'm hearing is the bone of contention with 17, that you're not sure that there is flexibility based on the two letters.
That is correct. And, you know, I'm not sure what that would look like or what that would entail. And, I think when we talk about, 18, there's probably some larger policy issues as well. But we wanted to talk, about the specific issues within the interim criteria issue. It really is related to the potential, like I said, the city did put forward what they thought were some appropriate local criteria. And, we really don't think that they would be approved by the regional board staff based upon the response to comments to the channel keeper's letter that actually addressed those.
So. Okay.
Going on to 18, the 18 is the larger issue of developing a hydromodification plan for the city. And, I think I want to be very, very clear here that, the city and all the other cities that spoke today, I didn't hear any of them say that we don't think hydromod is not a good idea. And we don't think that, looking at this, whether it's region-wide or county-wide, is not a good idea. What we are concerned with as small communities in the city of Lompoc in this region is, do we have the technical expertise, resources, and ability to develop something of this nature? When you consider you have scientists and studies coming out as late as Wednesday all over the map on this issue, how is there a reasonable expectation that I in the city of Lompoc can develop something that is scientific and technical within even the next 5 years? I mean, I think that's where this whole technical advisory concept is coming from, is we are concerned that we can't afford to develop such plans because we don't have that expertise or the resources, and we need help to do that. And then even the phase one communities are spending extensive resources to do just that. So I think that's the main takeaway that we want to provide with regards to 18, is it may be unrealistic at this point in the swamp process to put this as a requirement without some type of help in this regard.
Well, does the city have the resources to do the assessment?
I don't know.
There's different components of the requirements of this revision.
There are a massive number of different components. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And when you look at them collectively, it's quite daunting when you consider all the factors that are a part of what would be required in the development of this hydromodification plan. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to defer to the city on its resources.
Because, the number itself, 18 simply says to add a BMP stating how and when. So,
You have to result. At the end of the day, you go down to the bottom of it. At the end of the day, you need to come up with numeric criteria for runoff rate and volume. You need to come up with numeric criteria for stream stability impacts for development and redevelopment. You need to identify all the areas within your city, how these criteria would be met, and the other issues. I mean, the buffer zone requirements is probably the simplest thing out of there. So I think you have to look at it in a collective manner. And what you have to get to at the end of the day. The last one, which actually probably has had the least amount of discussion here today, but it is one of concern to the city, and maybe it's because they are at the bottom of a very large watershed, and that's number 20, which discusses long-term watershed protection. And again, the city, you know, is all about doing what it can to protect its water supplies, whether it's groundwater, it's, you know, make sure stormwater is clean, but the way we have read the required revision is very concerning to the city. There's a concern that this puts them in a position of trying to look beyond their jurisdictional areas as well as their capabilities. It's looking at evaluating watershed protection for the whole watershed, and which would include for the Santa Ynez watershed, you know, as my understanding, up to Buellton and all the way up. I mean, they are a very small down at the end of it. And while they don't have any problems necessarily evaluating their own policies, you know, how does one go about looking at the long-term trends for the whole watershed when you're the city of Lompoc? So I think it's kind of a very daunting task, and there's some current concerns that this item, in fact, really kind of goes beyond even the city's jurisdiction within the context of the stormwater management plan, as it is well beyond stormwater and gets into other, many other issues besides just stormwater control.
But again, you know, this looks like simply a requirement to explain how and when that these things will be developed. Kind of the requirement to develop a plan.
Yeah, well, and then if you... When you look also at, you know, when you go back to the February 15th letter, which this was included as part of that, you know, there were some specific enumerated activities with regards to, you know, predicting long-term receiving water conditions. And I guess the question would be, is the intent to make sure that the city's plan here is equivalent to those standards as well?
Well, you know, part of the problem, and this is, you know, an old problem, is... that different jurisdictions within one watershed do their own little fixes and, you know, not paying attention to problems it's causing other jurisdictions or downstream, and that's why we have a lot of these problems. So I don't think it should be surprising that we're trying to get everyone within a watershed to work together and coordinate their programs so that we don't wind up with this sort of patchwork fixes that are really creating problems for each other. And,
Absolutely, but I guess the question is, how do you go about doing that? And one of our concerns is really you're trying to shoehorn it, you know, the big picture into a little hole here. This little box is about the stormwater program and the stormwater management plan, and this is a much larger, more global issue. And are there other ways that we should go about making sure that all the communities in the watershed work together versus trying to mandate it through one program, which is about a stormwater management program?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting take, but at the same time, this is the kind of program that will have effects downstream and will be affecting other jurisdictions that are working on their own fixes. So this is the very kind of program that should be in sort of a watershed, or at least take a watershed approach and take into consideration other things going on in the watershed. How would you suggest it be done?
You know, it's difficult to say, and I don't want to put words in the mouth of the city, but some of the things that we have talked about, I mean, these long-term watershed protection goals are probably something that should be done more on a voluntary basis, whether it's written in a way that implies that the city work in a voluntary manner with the other cities in the jurisdiction to try to develop or work towards watershed protection. That would be one way to do it, would be to ensure that it's not a mandated permit provision, but it is encouraging the cities to work voluntarily together to try to develop such a plan.
Okay. Voluntarism, huh? Okay.
Trying to be quick on my feet. No. Anyway, so I think that, Stacy, unless I've missed out anything, those are the points that I think the city has wanted to convey to all of you today. I think just as a final take-home, you know, what we are requesting as we've gone through the table is some modifications to items 3, 10, and 14, maybe even just a modification to 16, and then the removal of 17, 18, and 20, just as a quick summary of the request list.
again?
Okay, I think that the request, there were specific modifications on 3, 10, and 14, and even, I guess, a specific modification on 16 to strike out that last sentence, or that last part of the sentence, not the whole last sentence. Mm-hmm. And then remove 17, 18, and 20.
Okay, thank you very much.